Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
The fact that he raised from the dead, it don't matter. You don't stand on formality. Give a shout when you think about it. When you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, give a woo! You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's all right. All right, Keith's going to lead us in our reading time.
Disregard what's going on behind me. It's not happening. It's a mirage. If it's just been on Sunday mornings, but we started out talking about hope. And ultimately, that's a good place to start, because no matter what you've got going on in your life, if you have hope, you've got something substantial. Amen? We moved on from hope to preparation. And this week, we're talking about love and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think that's an excellent thing to talk about, because when I think about Christmas, I think back from my earliest age, Christmas for me was always focused on, what do you think?
Presents.
And that's P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. I'm going to go English teacher on y'all for a little bit. Y'all good with that?
No.
Presence is very... I'll come back there. All right, so presence. When I think about presence, I cannot help but think about the gift that God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." I don't know about y'all, but the gift of God's only Son is an excellent present. Amen? John 3:16. Y'all know it? Say it with me. "For God so loved
the world
that he gave his only begotten
Son,
that whosoever
believes
in him shall not
perish,
but have
everlasting."
That's a phenomenal gift. Amen. But when we think about that, I think it does us better not to even focus on just the gift that was given 2,000 years ago. Yes, that God came, and as John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Just like the song from the skit, that God came wrapped in flesh, not wrapping paper, but he came and he put skin on to live everything that we've got to live, be tempted in every way like we are, and yet sin not. But I think rather than focusing on presence, on what we get, presence has a homophone. That means a word that sounds the same, but it's not spelled the same. The other meaning, the other word for presence is presence. There we go. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Emmanuel, God with us. When we look at that, I love how the skit put all of this into perspective. That yes, God did come to dwell among us. God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. And he died on the cross for our sins, but praise God, he did not stay dead. Amen. And I think when he says God with us, Emmanuel, that he himself dwells with us, when he died on the cross, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, I think back to what he said in the Great Commission. And lo, I am with you, how often?
Always.
Say what?
Always.
When?
Always.
How long?
Always.
Like right now?
Yes.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Until he comes again. Amen?
Amen.
So when we think of Christmas, we think of the gift that Jesus has given us. I can't think of any better scripture to move us into our time of musical worship than 1 John 4:10. "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That he took the favor that he deserves because he is God. And gave it to us. Why? Because he loves us. He swapped that favor that he deserves for the shame and condemnation of our sin. And he defeated death. And he defeated hell. And he defeated the grave. And that's the gift that keeps on giving. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and praise you this morning. God, I just ask that you help us to focus on you and you alone. In your name that I pray. Amen.
Sinner. Wait's children gave me this because you might hold it against them. But I'm just going to say somebody gave me this, you know. I was back there jingle-jangling while you were singing. And anyways, I like it. I'm going to put it in my pocket so I can jingle the whole time. Praise God, y'all. Listen, the name of the sermon is Christmas Potpourri, just talking about Jesus, because there wasn't just one place that I could land And so we're just going to talk about the Lord. And I want to encourage you on the front end. Take this time. Take the time around Christmas to talk about Jesus. I don't know if y'all know. I do know y'all know. Sometimes it's hard to talk to family and friends about Jesus. Because you've crossed that bridge. You know where each other stand. You've said it before. They've heard it all before. They don't want to hear it again. You know, and you get into all this stuff. Well, I'm not telling you to beat them on the head with the Bible. I'm not telling you this. I'm telling you, be prepared. Fill your heart up with who Jesus is so that when you see him, you can just talk about Jesus and how you feel about him. You ain't got to push them on nobody. You ain't got to tell them what they've got to do, but you'll be able to share. You'll be able to share. Even hostile people, they're going to listen to you share if you ain't telling them what they got to do. It's when we start telling people what they got to do and what they got to believe that they get all creepy, sketchy, and start going, meh. That's when you're going to get the argument. But don't let this time of year go by and just play status quo. You know, take a little risk. Get really filled up with Jesus. If I wasn't in church, I'd say get a good Jesus buzz. Get high on loving the Lord. Okay? And I know that sounds strange, but y'all, it's not. God gives us a sense of life. You know, God works in us in a spiritual way that brings love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, righteousness. He does so much in us. Get excited about it. It's all right. We're going to share. This time of year is so good for music, so good for movies. We'll talk a little bit about both in this sermon. So good in the Word. But we're just going to talk about Jesus. Y'all ready for that? There might be some places where you need to respond back to me, and that'd be okay. All right? It's permission. It's not that y'all need, you unruly bunch of lovely church people. You know, y'all don't need my permission. You're going to say stuff back anyway. But we're going to talk on three different topics. We're going to talk about how Jesus was born to rule, how Jesus was born to relate to us, and how Jesus was born to redeem us. And so we're just going to talk about that, and we'll talk about movies and different things along the way. We're going to start off, though, with Jesus was born to rule. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to make people's skin crawl. Look at our nation right now. Daggers and knives. Thank God it's not guns and bombs at this point. But how hateful and divisive our government has become. How on edge everybody is. Everybody afraid to say you support this or you support that because it's going to start a fight and you enter into a conflict that you might not want to be involved in. I could say just some things right now that would put people on edge. Pro-Trump, pro-impeachment, Democrat, Republican, and everybody goes, yeah. You can divide a room quick. You can lose friends on Facebook and real life. I always keep those separate too. Facebook and real life. I wish I could get on to some of these reporters and some of this newscast and stuff when they talk about all these things. I've listened to the impeachment stuff. I've listened to all these things. I've heard all the divisiveness. And I kind of just want to really quietly, pious as I can be, which is a tough call, meekly say, I understand it's important, but Jesus is going to rule the world one day and his kingdom will never end. So it's kind of like just rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, but go ahead. Arrange away. Feel great about it. But there is a kingdom that's coming whose ruler will never change, be impeached, voted for, or voted against. He's going to rule forevermore with a rod of iron, it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. In that famous Christmas song, Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah chorus, he will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I forgot all the words, but it does quote in there, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's prophecy set in the future.
So go ahead and fuss and fight if you must. But I'm here to preach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no debate. There's a period at the end of the sentence. He is the King, the ruler of all. Does that mean that these squabbles are unimportant? No, I mean, they're important for our time. I understand the points behind everything. I'm just telling you this. It's not the big deal. The big deal is that Christ is coming to reign. And whenever you try to take someone's power away, you freak them out. Remember when Jesus was born back in Matthew chapter 22? Pray for your pastor. Back in Matthew chapter 2, and I'm just going to read part of this. Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses, talks about how Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and all of a sudden these dudes show up. They're like, hey, we've seen the star. Where's the king to be born? And they're like, excuse me? What'd you say? Baking powder? Anyway, they were wondering, what in the world? King Herod, who was the king, got so upset that he immediately, with all his people, started plotting on how to kill him. Immediately. And they were freaked out. It says, Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined what time the star appeared. And he sent them out and he said, carefully look for the child that we might come and worship him. But we know he wasn't going to worship him. We know that it says King Herod, in chapter 2, verse 3, was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. And they find out what time it was and what happened when they went there. When the wise men went there, it says in verse 12, it says a little earlier up. It says, they bowed down before him. They had come in verse 11. They saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down, they worshipped him, and they had opened up their treasures and they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshipped. But what did Herod do when he came to Bethlehem? What did Herod do when he came to Bethlehem? He murdered. He killed. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Y'all, that ain't changed. There's people who are still furious about Christ and anything that represents him. That's still going on today. But can I tell you something? Don't let that drag you down. Don't let that put a frown on your face. When you hear people being negative or being oppositional, just know it has to be that way. This world is about to lose its power. And it's going to be given over to the rightful king. And there's just nothing they can do about it except for be PO'd and nasty and all those things. But don't you worry. We can't avoid it, but we can't let it stop us. It reminds me of a song. And one day I'm going to sing it. One day I'm going to sing this song. Today I'm going to try to say it kind of like a poem. We'll see how it turns out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But it says, it was long ago when it all began. Back in Bethlehem in the promised land. A single star appeared in the sky. And the three kings saw it. And they each asked why. And they checked the books full of prophecy. And the one king said, well, it's plain to me. It means that a king was born who will save mankind on this blessed morn. So they packed some gold, myrrh, and frankincense on some old camels with some fancy tents. And they closed down the house and they set the servants free. And three kings rode into history. Into history. Yeah, it was long ago when it all began. And the Lord looked down, said, I'm going to make a stand. So I send my son, and he said through him, they'll know me, yeah, they'll know me. And the angels came, and when they start to sing, all at once, the past, it doesn't mean a thing. And the star showed up, and the wise men said, hey, show me, oh, show me. So they followed it over hills and sand until they found the child, like it all was planned. When they bowed before the newborn king, the angels were singing in their angel style, how all of our hope had come down to this child. Bam! That's it. I'm going to get it. We're going to work on that. We're going to work on it. I ain't doing it again. It's a miracle already, a Christmas miracle. But the point of it is this. There's a king before whom we're going to be on our knees one day. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. He rules. Talk about it. You ain't got to be a theologian. Just talk about it. He's going to rule and reign. Talk about how Jesus was born to relate to us. Y'all know what I'm about to say is true. This is one of the loneliest times of the year for many people. And for whatever reason, this country is a lonely people country. A lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of internal things. They're going to be that. This room is packed out. Praise God. I love it. You know, I'm a preacher. This makes my heart happy. Blesses my heart. See everybody here on a Sunday morning. Even if we got to steal them from other churches every once in a while. We got to bring family back in town. Davis, we're glad that you're here from Chicago. You know? And so we're so glad. But can I tell you something? I think I'll tell you, my microphone, I think, died. I'm going to tell you that. Well, still going. I'm going to keep talking. It says green. It shows green. I'm one of those guys who likes, people say, what kind of Kool-Aid you like? I'm like, red. Like, you know, anyways, I see color. Anyway, all right, is this not working? Not good? All right. All right. What I want to tell you, what? We got double microphones.
What I want to tell you is the fact that Jesus Christ came to walk a mile in our shoes means that you're not alone, that you have not been abandoned, and your life has worth. I believe we do the stupidest things in our life when we feel like we don't have any kind of worth, and we feel lonely, and we feel abandoned, and we don't feel like there's any kind of point to our life. We're not at some point where we're ready to take our own life. Some people do get to that point. Most don't. But we are at a point where we just don't care. Tell me it's not so. Even at Christmas, that people don't feel so low that they're like, I just don't care. Don't matter. I think that's one of the big lies behind addiction. We think that it doesn't matter if we waste our lives because we don't matter to anybody and there's not a purpose or any other thing. I think that's why we get involved in different sins, because we don't think we matter very much and we're alone, and so it doesn't matter because we're so insignificant. Can I tell you something? The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. If you don't get anything else from that message, get this. You've got some value and worth because the Son of God took on your form to save you. He came for us, that we would know that there's a purpose, a plan, that we're worth something. The Son of God came to our mess. Can you imagine if you got, I don't know, I try to pick somebody who is somewhat famous, but not real famous. But if somebody said, let's say, you don't got, like, I hate picking political figures. Thank you so much. You're a good man. I appreciate it. Come here, I want a hug. No, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
Man fucking man on Christmas. It's a beautiful thing. So, I lost my tool. Anyway, that's it. Goodbye. Thank you. We're going to see you next year. Now I don't even know how to get... We'll work this out somehow or another. All right. So, Jesus came, took on flesh, walked a mile in our shoes to do what nobody else could do. But y'all, listen. He did it so that we would know that He loves us. And that we're worth it.
So when the enemy is attacking you and you think that there's no good thing and that your life is just pitiful, like this microphone. I'm just going to use the handheld from
okay. Man, don't believe that lie. Y'all remember the Psalm 23? It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You ain't supposed to build your house in the valley of the shadow of death. You're supposed to walk through. And all of us are going to walk through tough times, rough times, low times, dark times. Times that we are crushing. Times that make you sick in your stomach and cry your eyes out. Times when you've been gut punched.
But I'm going to tell you something. You can make it. Don't build your house in the valley of the shadow of death. Keep on walking. Get through it. The Lord is our shepherd. He's going to guide you through that. Okay? Don't get into that lie of it don't matter because I don't matter and blah, blah, blah. Da, 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 da. You matter. God created you in His image, and then He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, that He came in the likeness of sinful flesh to do for us what the law couldn't and what we couldn't, which is to be a sacrifice for our sin. He did that for us. He came here for us. So when you get low, not if you get low, when you get low, you remember Christ came for us. Christ came for you to walk a mile in your shoes. And I'm going to bore some of y'all to death because I'm going to tell you the story about It's a Wonderful Life. But I'm going to add a twist. The movie didn't change, but you just wait for this twist. Y'all know I love that movie. I watch it every year. We had a blessed time of having sharing Christmas presents at the Goldwater Estate. And we had two special guests because my boys are old enough and they have lady friends. And the lady friends were there. And you know, anyways, girlfriends. Feeling old. I'm feeling, you know, anyways, it was good. It was blessed. And we shared our gifts. And then immediately Sarah hooked me up with my Christmas tradition, which is to watch It's a Wonderful Life. She put the DVD in, and the kids lasted about 5 minutes, you know, into that movie. That was it. You know, they had the one graphic on there where they had little star constellations blinking when the angels were supposed to be talking back and forth, and they were looking like, you're kidding, right? I'm like, no, man, that was heavy-duty graphics back in the day. That was like 1940, you know what I'm saying? They're like, do we have to watch this? I'm like, no, you know, anyway, so I end up there by myself eventually. I'm watching this movie again. And if you know what happens, there's a good guy named George who goes through some hard life stuff, whose dreams get frustrated, the plans that he had in his life. Anybody relate to that? Anybody here just have things that they wanted to do, wish they could do, but they end up couldn't do? Okay, that's what happened to him. But then it just got compounded. And he got into legal trouble. And he was fixing to go to jail because he wrote, you know, he led a lending establishment, a building loan, and they were $8,000 behind. And the buck stopped with him, and he was going to have to go to jail for it. And he gives up, gets into a dark place, and he decides he's going to commit suicide. Y'all, this is just stopping here for a second. People think about it. People you know, maybe even you. Not talking about it. Not bringing it to the light, that don't help none either. Relate to somebody when they're down. Don't act like you ain't never been there. Because there's a way out. George was going to throw himself into the river. But then heaven intervened and sent a short, chubby, awkward angel to help him. Named Clarence. And heaven intervenes through Clarence. But then the whole movie switches. And George gets an opportunity to see what life would be like without him, what his family would be like, his church, his town, all this stuff without him. He had no idea. He thought he had a good life, and he was simply surviving in the good life that he had, but he didn't have the life he wanted, so he wasn't thriving. He wasn't happy. He was just like trudging through, like, okay, I guess this is it. And when the pressure got up, man, he was done. He was ready to take his life. But after he got the opportunity to see what his life, what the world would be like without him, he prayed. He's on that bridge. And he prays. And he repents and says, Lord, I'm sorry. And then he says this, God, I want to live again. I want to live again. And it starts to snow in the movie, which means back at that time there's a dude behind him on a ladder shaking like instant potatoes on him or something like that. And like, laundry soap. And it starts to snow, and all of a sudden, the cop shows up named Bert, and Bert says, hey, George, what you doing? And George goes, Bert? Do you know me? Do you know me, Bert? And he realized that he was alive again. He realized that he had been given another chance. He was in the same circumstances. He was going to go to jail. He was $8,000 behind, but he was alive. None of those circumstances meant anything anymore. He was happy to be alive. And he gets into the town, and he says, Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas, you fool! Potter, the villain. He beats on the window. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter! And he shows up at his house. And the bank guy's there, the reporter's there, and the cop is there, a different cop, an investigator. He walks in and he says, George, we got some news. He goes, I know! We're $8,000 behind, and you're going to take me to jail. Isn't it wonderful? Merry Christmas, he says to him. And he says, where's Mary? Where's my kids? And they go, doo-doo-doo. He's like, oh! And he starts hugging them and kissing them up like he ain't never seen them before in their life. Like his eyes had been, you know, everything had changed. He had just stormed out of the house, angry, bitter, sad, ready to take his life. But now he's come back in. It was just like, different. He was $8,000 behind. And in the movie, they showed the envelope that had $8,000 in it. It's about this big. They show Uncle Billy flipping through it. It's all small bills, so that was just a mistake. But anyway, about that big. I say that to say, they say, George, you won't believe what God's done, how heaven has intervened. They clear out a table, and this woman walks in with a huge bushel basket, a two-hander, big out like this. She walks in and she dumps all that money on the table. It's just a big old heap of money. Looks a lot bigger than the envelope they lost. But then person after person comes in and says, hey man, praise God. They just start shaking money out, cash falling out, and all this stuff. And he's seeing what he owed being wiped away. He's seeing the deficit and the debt being canceled. But then they say this, we just got a telegram from London, from your friend, Sam Heehaw Wainwright. You got to see the movies, you don't know what I just did. And they said, my office has been authorized to forward you up to $25,000. Remember what he owed? And they probably already had $8,000 on the table. And he had the $25,000 to go. Can I tell you something? God came to earth not to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. And his grace is so efficient for our debt. It is more than our sin. It's like that $8,000, and you just heard there is $25,000 available. It knocks it out. Grace wins. God wins. God's grace is greater than our sin. Don't you let yourself get down buried in a hole of despair. Don't you pitch a tent and build a house in the valley of the shadow of death. March on through. Christ came for you, and he loves you. And his grace is abundant. It's huge, more than what you and I have done. It's not fragile. It's not going to wear out. You're not going to find the end of it. It's wonderful. And can I tell you the twist? The twist is this. Not that I was crying like a baby. I do every time. And it's embarrassing. So I was kind of glad that everybody did leave. Because I was all slapping over some bubbles on it. Thinking about how God had been so good to me. But that whole time, and I'm not going to dwell on this long, but I just wanted to give you just a heads up. That whole time I was getting text messages. Boom, boom. It says, for the Christ-centered cross, now there's now 130,000. And now there's 150,000. Now there's 180,000. And now, by the time the movie ended, there was 200,000. And that thing is fully funded. And I was going, wow. God, and I know in the Christian community, and I've talked to some folks, there's people who are for it and against it, and it don't matter to me. I'm just telling you, man, I felt compelled to be a part of putting a big old sign up there to remind people about Jesus. And I hope everybody does one. Do a whole bunch of folks do. And I hope we also feed hungry people and houseless people, all those things. But y'all, listen, it was awesome to be in that point and see that just coming in, just boom, boom, boom. And I was like, this is for real. God is huge, bigger than we can ever ask, think, or imagine. Don't you forget that. And you let that put a smile on your face, okay? All right, the last part is just that God has come to redeem us. And I don't in any way want to make this, this is the last but not the least, okay? It's not least at all. It's not least by far shot. But Jesus' name means the Lord saves. Jesus' mission was to come to save us. Okay, there's a verse that I've been sending around that's been stuck in my brain all year. It says, this is a good saying, worthy of a trustworthy saying, worthy of all acceptance, that
Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. Y'all, He came to save us. He came to redeem us. God made us for a purpose. Christ brings us back into the place where we can walk in line with that purpose. Don't you ever forget it. Don't neglect to talk about what it means to you that you're saved. Oh, it's where would you be without Christ? I'm convinced I wouldn't be here without Christ. I'm not talking about just here in this pulpit, in this church. I mean in this world. I owe Him my life. He saved me. Y'all, don't ever forget to talk about it. Don't ever forget that not only is He the high priest who sympathizes with our temptation and weakness, but He's also the holy sacrifice who can take away the sins of the world. Not only is the Lord our judge, but the Lord is also our advocate, standing by our side. Don't forget who He is. Don't forget what He's done and what He's come for. And don't forget that you are going to be talking to people who need to know Christ as Savior and Lord. You don't got to force it on them, but just remember to talk about them. Just remember to bring them up. Share your heart about Christ this Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here. That we saw the skit, sang Your songs, heard Your word. And Father, it's good. You're good. And Father, right now I pray that if there's anything that needs to be happening in somebody's heart and life right now, anything that they would say, hey, I have not surrendered my life to Christ. Or I've surrendered my life to Christ, but I'm saved, but I'm not living for Christ. Lord, maybe there's those who need to be reborn today. Maybe there's those who need to be restored today. Maybe there's those who need to be resolved to continue walking with You another year. And they just want to make that commitment to You. Father, whatever it is, I pray that You'd give freedom in this place for people to respond the way You'd have them to. Lord, we love You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before they sing, this is your time to respond. I promise, if you need to get saved, God will save you. He's in the saving business. His name means He will save you. That's what Jesus means. Okay? He will. You can call on Him. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. Okay? So, if that's you, you come on. Do it. All right, I'm shutting up. Are you hurting and broken within? A merry little Christmas. Pray for everybody that's traveling and going and doing all these things. Really do. I mean, live it up. Y'all, you don't get heaven points for being a sour face over Christmas time. You know? Smile big. Hug hard. Say gracious words. Things that need to be said that you don't say, it's a great time to say them. And above all, talk about the Lord. And bring him into your conversation. Just as a reminder for our Christ community folks, we're not going to have Wednesday service for the next two Wednesdays. So we're not having it on the 25th of December. We're not having it on the 1st of January. So there will not be any Wednesday service. There will be a Bible study on Monday morning, uninterrupted. There'll be Sunday morning service uninterrupted. We will not have our Thursday night Jesus Saves Program on December 26th, okay? But January 2nd, we're going to be back at it out there. And them awesome folks, you can't let them, you know, you can't let them go more than a week. You know what I'm saying? We got to get back on it. We don't want to lose nothing. And, yeah, I'm looking at you, Holly, and Tommy Kirby. I'm looking at y'all. And, we'll be going back at it. Y'all, just pray. I use three words that have kind of become a focal point in my mind looking forward to this year. And that's reborn, restored, and resolved. Okay? I believe somewhere in there, we all have some business somewhere in those three words. Reborn, restored, or resolved. So be praying for his church. Not just the one that meets here, but the one that's all over. Pray that his church will be proclaiming his gospel and his work will be done. Amen? Hey, and Merry Christmas. I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready?
Great.